Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Christmas is drawing near, and it's time to reflect on the Christmas story, perhaps in a way you never have before. In the second part of a two-part program, let's go in-depth with Pastors Sophie and Steve Mathenay Vanderwell with Second Reformed Church in Pella. What does the Christmas story mean for us today? What lessons can we learn from it?
Well, I think there's a lot that we have. Jesus coming in obscurity, coming in weakness, coming in vulnerability. Where do we find God? We find God among the shepherds, among the marginalized, among the outcasts, those that we would say, this is not where you're going to find God. I think we have stories that both of these stories, Matthew and Luke, too, have there's opposition to this. The status quo is threatened by the coming of this child. So the Romans, King Herod, we've made them into sweet stories, beautiful stories, and of course they are. But there always is a shadow in these stories that people don't want this child to be born, and that he is a threat to those in power. And I think that's not a bad message to remember at any Christmas, that Jesus upsets things, upsets the status quo, and people will resist that.
And I would add to that that the Christmas story, or the nativity, or whatever you want to call it, is a nice story, but in and of itself, if that's all we think of Jesus, we really have missed. I mean, we haven't missed the incarnation, which is an incredibly important idea or reality, but we have to look beyond that story to who Jesus is and what he did and what he taught and how he lived and how he died. So I would say what I would want is for the Christmas story to become the springboard for really reading the rest of the Gospels and coming to know Jesus the Christ.
Well, how do we use the Christmas story to, I don't know, sort of as a template to understand where we are in contemporary society and world affairs? How do we use it? Can we use it?
Well, I would say, you know, Jesus was a Middle Eastern refugee. And for anyone who looks askance at those who have to flee their home because of danger or war or famine, only needs to look at the story of Jesus' birth to realize that they're talking about people who are in very much the same situation as Jesus was.
And so, in that way, I think just part of the Christian gospel from the very beginning is that to welcome the refugee is to welcome Jesus. And to be close to the refugee, you will not find Jesus if you do not welcome the refugee. And so we have this story, this young family on the run, in danger. And those who are open to that, those who welcome, find Jesus. Those that kind of are in power and are content and are threatened by those miss the boat, miss the Messiah, miss Jesus. You've seen these funny little cartoons this time of year that have a picture of a stable and a few little animals standing there, and they say, this is what the Christmas story looks like if you exclude Jews, Middle Easterners, and refugees. Nobody's there. They were at the center of the story. And again, I think that tells us something about who and where God is at work, with whom and where. It's not... It's the counter to the glamour and the glitz. It's instead a story of a young woman pregnant in mysterious circumstances. Obviously, as Christians, we can explain that circumstance, but to the world back then, too, it would have been askance. Who is she pregnant with? How come she's pregnant too early? All of these things that would give kind of most of us decent and respectable people pause today are right there. And if we kind of step back from those because they kind of scandalize us, I'm afraid we miss Jesus.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about the Christmas story with Pastors Sophie and Steve Matheny Vanderwell with Second Reformed Church in Pella.
I read the other day that we now have more refugees than at any time since World War II. There's 2 million plus refugees. And as we speak, Aleppo, people are, it's a horrible situation. But the dominant political narrative here in the United States right now is, we're not going to do anything for these refugees. There's too much peril in doing that.
Right. And I think when our own safety and security becomes more important than the well-being of anybody else on Earth or of the Earth itself, then I think we have to really carefully look at ourselves and say, are we being gospel people? Are we following in the way of Jesus? And I think the answer there is no. The highest value is not our own safety and security. It seems to me the Christian gospel says there are other values that are higher than that. Values about love and justice, mercy.
Welcome. I would agree. I mean, I think, you know, it's the story here already, like I said, has as people fleeing power, having to live where they aren't from, establishing new homes in strange places, all of which speaks to our time. And then I guess, you know, I think on the whole question of refugees, it isn't just even the Christian story. And I don't want to necessarily overlap the Christian story with the American story. But, you know, this isn't very Christmassy, but I think of what, you know, stands there on the Statue of Liberty. You know, send me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. I can't quite see that we want to roll up that and say, oh, sorry, that was for a different time and not for now.
Well, as we sit here in Pella, I'm reminded by the fact Pella was founded by refugees.
Right. And if most people were honest, they are children of immigrants. And yet we look at immigrants as though they're somehow, you know, something different than us. So, yes, I think the Christmas story does sort of cause us to look maybe a little bit more carefully at our world today and some of the attitudes that we have.
I think the message that we hear from the angels to the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy to all people. To you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who's Christ the Lord. I mentioned earlier that if you know your history and your culture, that rings very much of a royal birth announcement, that if Caesar had a child, messengers, heralds would have gone from village to village announcing something like that. And so, again, there's even kind of a not-so-subtle undermining of the announcements of great powerful people having accomplished and said, this here, this little obscure baby, is the birth of a counterforce that will, in a sense, threaten and undermine all the status quo, the safety, the protection that we all want to build, and will bring good news and a different kind of security, not built on walls and swords and armies and strategy.
Well, and not only did they say to you is born this day, the angels didn't only say to you is born this day in the city of David, but their first words were, fear not. And really, whenever angels, messengers from God, appeared to people in Scripture, their first words were, fear not. And we live in an age of fear. And much of our political culture these days is driven by fear. And the message of the gospel, again, is fear not. The Lord is with you. And so how could we in this Christmas season even if there are things that are frightening out there, how could we live not out of fear, but out of trust and out of gratitude?
More in depth after this.
Well, and it's not only with respect to refugees, it's with respect to our own poor and downtrodden. We often send them a message that says, well, pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
It's your own fault.
It's your own fault. You can solve these problems. That doesn't sound, I didn't read those words in the scriptures. I don't believe bootstraps appears in the scriptures.
No. Right. And it's not that, you know, it's not that we shouldn't encourage people to work or take responsibility or anything like that. I mean, Jesus occasionally would ask a person who wanted to be healed, do you want to be well? So we're not, you know, we're not just saying, but Jesus never treated anyone as though somehow their predicament was their own fault.
Well, and I think we've been talking about the shepherds as being the marginal people. Sophie said it'd be like, you know, the homeless people stumbling upon a baby in a parking garage, or I've seen it portrayed as, you know, the early morning people emptying the dumpsters are the people who come. But even the what we Christians might call the Holy Family are not, you know, wealthy people. What there's a variety of ways of understanding no room at the inn laid in a manger. But it certainly tells us that they, too, were not the entitled people. They were not the people that had the birth suite at the hospital.
They were ordinary.
They were very ordinary and perhaps below ordinary. And these are the people that are given the high calling and honor of parenting God come to earth.
Sometimes it seems like we're sort of smug and entitled. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I, like everybody else, can feel that way sometimes. But that's the opposite of the message of Jesus, right?
Right. I don't necessarily deserve an easy life or wealth or happiness or whatever it might be. If I receive those, they are a blessing and I am grateful for them. But I'm not any more entitled to it than you are or anybody else in the world is. And so what it may invite us to is a sense of solidarity with others who suffer, whether those others are the person sitting next to us in the pew or a family member or someone we don't know who lives across the world and is living in, peril from war or famine or oppression or whatever it might be.
Well, and as much as the Christmas story is this beautiful story, I mean, a child born is always a symbol of hope going forward. It isn't, if we really sit back and think about it in a way that we maybe don't because we just love the story and have been drawn into it, the way any of us would draw up the birth of a child if we were drawing up an ideal birth, a family on the run having to travel, born in kind of obscurity. There's nothing kind of safe or guaranteed or
glamorous
about the Christmas story.
Yeah, thinking back through all the times I've heard it, I guess I don't dig deep into it. Do we dig deep enough into the Christmas story, do you think?
Well, we could go into even greater depth, and, you know, that's what pastors, biblical scholars do, is to notice the differences, and they're there. But also not just to notice the differences, but also to look in great depth. I mean, we haven't even gone there, but why gold, frankincense, and myrrh? That the authors of the Gospels just filled these things with messages and symbols, and we probably don't dig deep enough. At the same time, we all have to say that when we go and see a Christmas pageant and little kids up there portraying it, you don't have to read Greek or understand ancient Hebrew culture to just say there's something beautiful and hopeful and heartwarming there as well. So we can, and I think we get great benefit from looking closely. At the same time, that warm Christmas story that we all love still conveys God's love and hope for the world through Jesus Christ.
Amen.